Simine. Simine said, was Yehuda tiny? Benimusim shalanu, in our laws, ksiv. In our laws, it says, v'im eloi v'nimka b'gnei vasei. In Eved, if he steals, if a person steals rather, he has to pay. If he doesn't have money, then he's sold for his gneiva. But Binyamin has what to pay. He comes from a wealthy family. He has what to pay. So you can't take him as an Eved. As I say, in Medrash, this was the time of Yehuda. Person that steals, doesn't have money, gets sold as an Eved. But in Yeshua, why should he get sold as an Eved? And Yesh Binyamin has what to pay back with. Mamela, you can't take him as an Eved. So the Dubna Magid was asked, what kind of a time was this in Yehuda? I mean, as far as they were concerned, Yosef was a guy. Yosef was a mitzvah. They didn't know that he was a Yid. They didn't know that he was his brother. As far as they were concerned, Yosef was a guy. So why are they telling him what it says in the Torah? They don't tell you, Al-Piruach HaKadosh, they already have the halachas of the Torah. But how could you tell Yosef, Benimusim Shalonu, with our laws, the halacha is that if a person steals and he doesn't have money, he gets so. But if he has money, let him pay it back. Why are you telling this to Yosef? Yosef, as far as you're concerned, is a guy. He goes most of the Egyptian law of the land, and he is the king, and he decides, what kind of a time was this? This is what the Dubna Magid was answered. Was asked. So the Dubna Magid answered that even though we believe that Torah is Min HaShemayim, and before Matan Torah, whatever Torah they had was the Derech Ruach HaKodesh, but there's a lot to be learned from the Torah. There's a lot of Goyish laws today, they're based on the laws of the Torah. I mean, I say, they make sense. So they were hoping that Yosef, even though he was a Goy, he would listen to the logic of the Torah. What is the logic over here? He says, that din that a Ganav gets sold as an Eved is a very, very difficult halacha to understand. Who in his right mind would want to buy a Ganav as an Eved? You need a robber inside your house to steal your stuff. Meisen tells many years ago, the boys were complaining that the workers in the dormitory and the workers in the kitchen, they were stealing, you know, money from them, they were stealing other things in the dormitory. So they went to the Rosh Yeshiva of Elie Meir to complain, you gotta fire these guys, you gotta get other people here. So Elie Meir went to the maintenance man, and he was also the cook at the time, his name was Mr. Margolius, Tyre Hungarian Yid Olav HaSholem. And he told them, you know, the Bachram are complaining that they're stealing, you know, how can you have them? You have to get new ones. He says, Ichu zugn der Rosh Yeshiva. He tells him, Zum Gai Rosh Yiddish, Ichu zugn der Rosh Yeshiva. He says, the goyim that I have over here now, forks they have already. They already stole plenty of forks from the kitchen. Spoons they have already. Tablecloths they have already. So, you know, they're not going to steal much more from what I have. If I'm going to hire now new workers from the beginning, they will go the forks, and they will go the spoons, and they will go more tablecloths. I can't find them so easily. So, if you know that you have a Ganav in your house, why in the world would you want to buy such a fellow? The Torah says, that people realize that a lot of times, most times, a Ganav steals, he just doesn't have the money, he's bedachlus. So out of desperation, he steals. But if you take him into your house and he eats by you and he sleeps by you and he doesn't have to pay the bills and he doesn't have an achrayus, he's not going to steal in the house, and this way he'll be rehabilitated. That's the logic of the Torah, why a Ganav gets sold as an Eved. When is this logic? When does logic dictate such a thing? If the Eved is poor, if the Ganav was poor, so then you could say he stole Machmas desperation. But if you have a rich guy that steals, you know it's not because he needs the money. You know, because he's got a serious problem. He's behead some Ganav. So then such a guy, you're not going to take him as an Eved, because he'll rip you off, you know, rip you clean. That's what Yehuda was timing to him. That even in logic it doesn't make sense you should take him as an Eved. It's one thing if he was poor. And he stole because he's poor, so then it makes sense you're going to take him as an Eved. But he comes from a wealthy family. And if it's like you say that he stole, why in the world would you really want him as an Eved? It must be that you really don't want him as an Eved, and you know very well he didn't steal. And you're only doing it to start up with us. That's why Yehuda stepped forward to fight against Yosef. This was the logic in what Yehuda was telling him. So finally, after the whole give and take, if the Yehuda says he can't go back to his father, finally Yosef can control himself no longer. He let out a cry, I am Yosef. Ha'ayra v'chai. Is my father still alive? V'lo yachlu echav lana yisayisay ki nivalu mipanav. They were shaken up before him, in front of his face. They couldn't answer him. And this the Medrash says, Omer Rav Abba Kohen Bardula. Rav Abba Kohen Bardula, when he came to this pasuk, he said, Medrash says on others that they used to cry when they said this pasuk. Oy lonu miyayim ha-din. Woe to us from the day of judgment. Oy lonu miyayim ha-teichachet. Woe to us from the day of rebuke. La'achameh v'esrim shana. When a person can have to be standing in front of the kisei ha-kovid, in front of the Beth Mishamayla, he's going to be judged, he's going to be rebuked. Woe to us from that day. Malach Yosef was next to the youngest of the Shvatim. Kalapi's older brothers. They were stronger than him, they outnumbered him, and yet, when they had to face him, they couldn't open their mouths out of embarrassment. Ki nivalu mipanav. Kal v'chaymer ben b'neishel kal v'chaymer. Lachaneh v'esr shana. When we, puny individuals, will be standing in front of the Beth Mishamayla, and we're going to have to give a din v'cheshvin, we're going to have a din there, we're going to be rebuked, alachas kama v'kama, we're not going to be able to answer. So all the mefarshim ask a kasha. What in the world does this pasuk have to do with din and with teichachet? They weren't being judged over here. Yosef, he was made him, his father in front of his brothers. I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? Where's there a din and a teichach over here that Abba Kain Bargul said, oi, what's going to be? Machameh V'esh went out to stand in front of the Kisei HaKadosh. There's many different shortens that are said over here. But in the Sefer Degel HaMusar, he says, Amayu de Kipshat. He says, the whole story of Yosef and the brothers is hard, just hard to fathom. How in the world did they not figure out that this was Yosef, their brother? I mean, from the beginning, there's so many kashas. They were all brought to Yosef. The Medrash tells us they entered Mitzrayim from 12 different areas. Imagine throughout the whole land of Mitzrayim, there were 12 different openings, at least on the border. They each entered in a different way, and they're all rounded up together to come to Yosef. How in the world did Yosef associate them all from, you know, together? Especially since the Medrash says, the Yaakov Avinu told them, l'chitchila, go in through 12 different entrances, right? So Yaakov Avinu, who was a Navi and a Baal Ruach HaKodesh, he should tell him the wrong thing. Something doesn't jive. Another thing. He starts asking them questions. Who's your father, and who's your mother, and who are your brothers? You know, like the Shvatim themselves signed it in. You were making a shidduch with us. You may walk into a harvest, do I like a hammer? Where do you come from, and what city are you from? Where are your parents from? I want a hammer. I'm not interested in making a shidduch with you. Here they wanted wheat. We weren't interested in making a shidduch. So what's he asking all these questions for? And he gives him a hard time. And then he takes Shimon in, kidnaps Shimon, right? And then it looks like he's putting him into jail. He ends up feeding him, and when the brothers come back and they see Shimon, they see he's all fattened up. He treated him nicely. He calls them all in to eat together with him. This is the way you treat people that come from a foreign land. All they want to do is to buy wheat. Why did it become a whole social session with him? You know? And the Medrash tells us he called them in, and he tells each one of them how old he is, and each one of them what they did, and even he told them, you know, why didn't you sell your brother? And then he told them different things. Didn't you kill out a whole city of Shechem? These were kashas that they should have come to the conclusion, it's got to be Yosef. He knows everything that happened with us. Why is it that they didn't come to that conclusion? Part of the answer you could say is Hashgacha had it that way. Hashgacha did not want them to come to this realization. But the Degel HaMusar says that the reason why they didn't come to this realization is they didn't want to come to this realization. The blindest man is a person that doesn't want to see. They didn't want to come to this realization. Could be deep down inside, they might have started thinking, hey, maybe this is Yosef. They didn't want to hear that. They didn't want the dreams to be for you. Adarabba. Let's go and kill him. And let's see how his dreams are recorded. Wanted to throw him into a pit. They sold him as an Eved. They figured he'll be somewhere in Mitzrayim. He'll be an Eved. They never wanted to believe that now they were coming to bow down to Yosef, and those hated dreams of Lechitchila that he said in front of the fathers, they were Mekuyim. Yaakov Avinu says, Bo'adiv Shamar Esadavar, he was waiting for it to be Mekuyim. But they dreaded that. They didn't want that to happen. So they didn't want to be makir the truth. When you don't want to be makir the truth could be staring you in the face, and you're not going to be makir that truth. That's the pshat. When Abba Kain Bible said, a person could go through his entire life and have life teach him different lessons that he doesn't want to see. And he lives his entire life in an untruthful way. When he comes up to Shemayim and he sees, hey, you were supposed to live your life differently. I didn't get all of those indicators that we sent you, all of those simonim that we sent you, that you're supposed to change your ways. And the answer is, yeah, but I didn't want to change my ways. That's why I didn't see the truth. That's the oylon of miyayim, I didn't oylon of miyayim, I didn't. When he said, Ani Yosef, ha'oyro v'chayim, the brothers asked themselves, how is it that we didn't come to this conclusion on our own? It was so partial all along. The Teretz is they realized because we didn't want to know the truth all along. That's why we didn't recognize it. That's what Abba Kain Baruch has said. What's going to happen with us? We have all kinds of indications in the Bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He is one, and we have to do His bidding. And we don't take those simanim. We don't listen to those signs. Law said, Lori, that's going to be a big problem for us. We're not going to be able to answer. We also will be nivalu mepnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was the conclusion that they came to. Chofetz Chaim said over a ma'isa. I probably said it over here already. I've said it over in other shiurim. Chofetz Chaim said over a ma'isa that there were two big so-called philosophers, Epicursim. One was named Levinson. He lived with a burden page. He looked very, very firm, a very Jewish Epicurus. And he had a friend by the name of Ginsberg. They were once discussing, is there life after death or not? Is there such a thing as life? Different world? They'll philosophize it as if it's a suffix. So they made a deal with each other. So whichever one of them dies first, we'll come back to the other one either in a dream or, you know, in person, to let him know that there's life after death. Sure enough, Ginsberg died first, and Levinson is taking a walk one fine sunny day on the outskirts of town, and he passes the Beis HaKvaris. Then all of a sudden, standing there staring him in the face was his good friend Ginsberg. Guy Mamish, he kind of passed out, he was screaming, passed out of pachad. He took him to the hospital, took him a while to recuperate. If people knew about this deal, they knew what had happened. He had told someone what had happened. So the Esther knew. Now you see the ultimate truth. Your friend came back to you and he showed you a mara of his life after death by your mother. Nah, I was depressed. I was passing the Beis HaKvaris. I started hallucinating a little bit. That's not really true. Blah, 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 blah. Father Chaim said, a person can have the truth staring him in the face, but if he's not willing to accept that conclusion, there's nothing to talk about. You have all the riots in the world, all the proofs in the world. If you're not willing to accept the truth, it's better than a hit. Ani Yosef, Ha'oiro Michai. Chofetz Chaim is a different, as it comes with a different angle on this. Brothers have a lot of kashas. Brothers have a lot of questions. Why did this have to happen to us? Why is this fellow pestering us? All we wanted was food, and he's taking this, he's taking this one into jail. Yudavka wants Binyamin. A whole bunch of kashas. The minute Yosef said the words, I'm Yosef, all the questions were answered. No more questions. Now we understand. This was all a ploy to get us to come down, to bring Binyamin down, and so on. And this is also a reason to get Yaakov to come down to Mitzrayim. They saw it all in front of them. So, Chofetz Chaim, we have tons of questions. Why is Tzadik Barali? Why Rosh HaMetayloi? Why did we even have to suffer so much? Why is there such hardship? If all we want to do is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have such hardships in the process, Mashiach comes, he's going to say the words, Ani Mashiach, those two words, all of our questions will be answered. Same way, Ani Yosef, answered all the questions for the brothers. Those two words will answer all of our questions. Everything's going to fit into place. Now, we're living in the darkness. Now we don't see how all of the pieces in the puzzle, how everything fits into one big, beautiful picture. Law said, love it. Those two words, Ani Moshiach, and we'll see how every single hardship fit in. All the pieces of the puzzle will fit into one. And Yosef said to his brothers,
Gishuno Eli, Vayigosh, come close to me. And he steps forward. Vayomer, and he said, Ani Yosef Achicha, I am Yosef, your brother. Hashem Echartam Risi Mitzrayimah, that you sold me to Mitzrayim. The word Achichem over here seems to be a little bit extra. Ani Yosef. Before he said, Ani Yosef Ha'oirav Yichai. He didn't say, Ani Yosef Achichem. Why all of a sudden over here did Yosef say, Ani Yosef Achichem, I am Yosef, your brother, Hashem Echartam Risi Mitzrayimah, that you sold me to Mitzrayim. Or Chaim HaKadosh says, the Nifla de Kibshad over here. Chaim HaKadosh says, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef. Achichem Hashem Mechartam Oisi Mitzrayim. I felt the brothership to you. I felt that love of a brother to you, even while you sold me to Mitzrayim. Even the fact that you sold me as an Eved, even the fact that you ripped me away from my father, and you sold me to a far away land, even that could not take away the love that I had for you as a brother. That's why it says over here, Ani Yosef, Achichem. I'm your brother, and I want to maintain that friendship, and I still maintain that ahava even at that very moment that you sold me. So he's up to Rechaim HaKadosh. So the big tzaddik, the Rebbe, the Admir Mordechai of Lechavitch said that in order to be able to say such a word, you have to be able to be on such a madrega. Shmami no, if the Rechaim HaKadosh was able to say such a pshat, he heard that there is such a mitzvah of loving someone even if he's giving you tzaras, loving someone even if he ruins your life. That's a madrega that's beyond our comprehension. But if the Rechaim HaKadosh was able to say this pshat in the pasuk, I'm your brother even when you give me trouble, it's a sin that the Rechaim HaKadosh, he himself was massive such a madrega. I once heard from Rishon Shvadron, beautiful story. In Yerushalayim, the early 1900s, they used to give out a chaluk every Thursday. There used to be an office where people used to come to get a stipend for Suda the Shabbos and for the rest of the week. And each one was allotted a certain amount according to the amount of panosa or lack thereof that they had, according to the people of the family. Usually this office was open on a Thursday. And the Mamuna, the one that was in charge lovingly, used to come in on a Friday in case somebody wasn't able to make it on Thursday. He would come in on Friday as well to make sure that people got their stipend. He's there one Friday. And the Yid comes in. And he says, can I have my stipend? So he said, but you were here yesterday. I was here. I gave you your thing and you're written down in my record. I already gave you your chelik for the week. So the fellow wound up and he gave him a whack across the face and he ran out. What was this Gabbai's reaction? Gabbai tells his assistant, quickly, I want you to go to a gemach and borrow this and this amount of money and run after him and give him another stipend for the week. So he tells him, what are you talking about? I just patched you. I just hurt you. Why do you want to give him more money? So he says, if the fellow patched me, Simon, he was so desperate for money that he had no other way of expressing himself. He says, you have to give him what he needs. In fact, he went out and borrowed money on his own personal cheshbon, you know, in order to give this fellow extra for what he needed. There's a shtickle example of that. Achichem. He feels the brotherliness. He feels the ahav of a brother. Even if the other fellow slaps him in the face, he's able to see it didn't come from badness. It didn't come chas v'sholom because he's a bad person. It came because he was desperate. That's the way a true brother looks at his brother. The pasuk goes on to say, V'inei einechem royos. Behold, your eyes see. V'enei achi Binyamin. You see, and my brother Binyamin sees, that this is my mouth, the mouth of Yosef, that's speaking to you. So Rashi says, what is the meaning of the word, Kipi Hamadabar Aleichem? The Lashon Kodesh. You see the fact I'm talking Lashon Kodesh to you. It's a sign that I'm your brother. Ramban asks a question over here. And what was the big riot? Because he speaks Lashon Kodesh. It's a riot. He's their brother. I mean, you know, Canaan and Mitzrayim are right next to each other, right near each other. So people went constantly from Mitzrayim to Canaan. In fact, the spoken language of Canaan was Lashon Kodesh. The guy used to speak Lashon Kodesh in the land of Canaan. So what is the raya then that Yosef is their brother just because he speaks Lashon Kodesh? And the Ramban Taka learns that he didn't mean it as a as a proof mamish, not just this to appease them. And look, you see, I also speak Lashon Kodesh. That's a little bit of a sign, but he didn't really mean it as a conclusive proof. As I learned at the Ramban, Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz says a very beautiful pshat. Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz says, Demis says there's a different kasha over here. So let's say, you know, Chazal say, why didn't they recognize him? Because he left without a beard, and now he had a beard. So he couldn't recognize him with the beard. What about, why couldn't they recognize his voice? They didn't recognize his voice. Why didn't they recognize Betfias Eina de Kola? The Gemara says in Masechtas Chulin that how's a blind man allowed to live with his wife? How does he know it's really his wife? How's he allowed to live with her? He's Saimach on Betfias Eina de Kola. He's able to recognize her voice. So over here, you're Saimach on Isurim on the voice of a person. Over here, they couldn't recognize him by his voice. What's the pshat? So he says a very interesting teretz. He says he can only recognize a voice if you're used to speaking to the person in one language, and he's continuing to speak in that same language. But we know that different languages have different mannerisms. You know, a Frenchman, he has a very nasal expression. And the way a Russian speaks, you know, it's a very hard expression. The voice changes according to the language. And according, you know, Arabic, you know, you use different parts of the face to speak Arabic, and the voice changes. Memela, hey, yes, until now he spoke in Mitzri. They weren't able to recognize his voice. But now he was telling them, he piyam adabar aleichem, now that I'm speaking to you in Lashon Kodesh, you can tell by my voice that I'm Yosef. You didn't recognize me until now, because until now I was speaking Mitzri. But now that my mouth is speaking to you in Lashon Kodesh, so now my voice sounds exactly the same as it did before. So now you should recognize me between the same and the color. This is what the way Rav Yonasan and I just teaches over here the puzzle. Vayeser Yosef Merkaftoi, and Yosef harnessed his chariot. Vayal across Yisrael Ovid Goshna, and he went towards Yisrael his father to Goshen. Vayereilov, and he appeared to him. Vayipol al tzavorov, and he fell on his neck. Vayev al tzavorov oid, and again he cried on his tzavor, on his father's neck. He cried and continued to cry. Rashi says something that seemingly he didn't have to say. It says, so Rashi says, Yosef nira el Ovid. Yosef appeared to his father. What's Rashi telling us over here? I mean, if you look at the pasuk, Yosef harnessed his chariot. He went towards Yisrael to Goshen. Obviously, he's going on Yosef, that Yosef appeared to his father. Why is it necessary for Rashi to say Yosef nira el Ovid? So Chaim Shmuel Levitz Atzal says a beautiful pshat. Yosef's purpose in coming out to see his father was twofold. Number one, he missed his father for 22 years. His beloved father, who he knew ached for him and pined for him, he missed him. He was ripped away from him mercilessly. He was waiting, when is the time going to come? I could see my father, I could hug him, I could kiss him. Now the time came. He was waiting for his own purposes to see his father. Me'idav Gisa, he also wanted to be Mahana, his father. He wanted to be able to be Mekayim Kibudav Ein. And furthermore, he wanted his father to see that he was the same Yosef spiritually. He wanted to be Mahana, his father. Zokrashi, Vayera El Aviv, Yosef Nira El Aviv. If you want to know what Yosef's main tachlis over here was, he subjugated his own personal retainers. He subjugated his own personal interests. And now when he appeared, he did it solely for the mitzvah kibbutz. Yosef nira el ovid. It wasn't Yosef raw as ovid. Yosef wanted to see his father. Yosef's primary purpose over here was l'shem the mitzvah kibbutz, to be mahana his father. And that his father should see takir, that he was on the same adreg. This is really going to be the way of Achlus Hayonim. When Mashiach comes, we're going to have to appear in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yosef, the same way he wanted to show his father that he didn't change in Mitzrayim, we're going to have to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that all the years of Golos didn't change us. We still go in the ways of Ruach Yisrael Saba, but that takes avodah on our part. To be able to appear in front of our father and show that we're still yidden out to Haris HaKadosh, that takes work. Not to go into the ways of the Goyim, to maintain our Kiddushah. Vayevkal Savorov, he cried on the neck of Yaakov. Zok Rashi. Aval Yaakov Avinu lo yibach al tzavarav. But Yaakov did not cry on Yosef. Why not? L'fisha ha'yakayri kriyashma. Yaakov Avinu started laying in kriyashma. Famous question asked over here is, Yaakov Avinu doesn't see his son for 22 years. And he's about to see him. He could embrace him, mamish. Now's the time to start laying in kriyashma. Wasn't this man kriyashma? Why wasn't Yosef laying in kriyashma? Was it not this man kriyashma? So why all of a sudden was Yaakov laying in kriyashma? We've said to roots into this in previous years. I want to share with you a beautiful terrace that I saw today from the Charkiv Rebbe, David Moshe of Charkiv. So the Gemara says in the Sefer Brachos that hey, lo oyolam yardes odom yetzer toyev al yetzer hara. You can't take the yetzer hara sitting down. You can't be passive when it comes to the yetzer hara. You got to fight him out, right? You got to take an active stance against him. You got to be aggressive against him. What should you do? If you see that the Yetzer Hara, you're scared he's going to attack, first thing is, we're the Torah. Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Torah Tavu. Torah is the potion against the Yetzer Hara. If that doesn't work, lay in Kriyashma. If that doesn't work, remember the day of death. Remember, there's going to come a time where they're going to put you in the ground, you'll be six feet below, and then you're going to come up there, you're going to have to give it in the Cheshvan. That ought to do the trick. First Torah, and then Kriyashma, and then Yaakov Avinu was scared he's going to come down to Mitzrayim, the land of Avi Avay Satuma, a land of Avay Dezora, a land of Gilead Arayas, a land of Kishon. That was the capital of Kishon, was in Mitzrayim for many generations. He was afraid he would be affected by the Yetzer Hara. So he had to be Margis, the Yetzer Tov, he had to wage a battle. What was the first thing he did? The Yehuda Sholach Lefon of Geishna. He sent Yehuda out to make a base medrash. Rashi says, the second way base at Talmud, that's Torah. You fight the Yetzer Hara with Torah. As he approached Yosef, he laid Kriya Shema. That was the second thing. And what did he say after he met Yosef? O Musa Hapam, now I can die, Achri, after I saw your face. So those three things that Chazal say in Masechtas Brachos, Yaakov Avinu that was afraid of the Yetzer Hara, this is exactly what he did. Yehuda Sholach Lefon of Geishna to be misakin from the base of Talmud. The second thing he did over here was like Kriya Shema. The third thing was Yaskar Asma Yehim Amisa. This is the way Yaakov Avinu approached. It's fine. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.
We say Shabbos. Yosef showed him his mila because they still didn't after he revealed who he was. But there was, Rebbe said that they still didn't want to believe. So he showed them the mila. Fight there, he had to show them.
Could be, yeah.
That's very nice. Even after, he had to show them that.
Right. Yeah. Shocking revelation, especially if you don't want to see it.
Also, as long as didn't Yosef already was, I was pretty sure that everyone already had a meal in Yosef, and he made everyone get enough, so that doesn't help that he
unless it could be the meal of the Yid was different.
Maybe
it was. I don't think that they had Kriya. It could be. Because the meal that they had was meal with Kriya. It was full bad. I know the brain had that. Now, even though, I'm not sure before my interior, right there, but if Avraham Avinu was Makayim Kol HaTorah Kula, even Mitzvah Drabona, if she's talking that they had the meal that we have today. Yosef, it could be his meal was different. Maybe. I don't know. What?
You know what? You should see the same thing with the law. Also, you don't see the other two things.
I mean, it could be, first of all, love was far from the tribe. Love was far from its trying. Love one. The reason why Avraham Avinu sent Eliezer there was because they had basically good midas. They're far from the same family.
It's different.
Yeah, it's far different.
He's talking about himself, he's talking about the whole anybody.